Yes, sir. Two questions. First of all, what aircraft is going to replace the Falcon 20? And the second question is, how severe of weather can you take a helicopter out in?
I couldn't hear the second one. I'll answer the first one, let you go on the second one. The aircraft that replaced the Falcon 20, when Falcon 20s are retired now, the HU-25s are gone. We replaced those with the HC-144 Ocean Sentry aircraft. That was the first aircraft we replaced it with. And then we have recently acquired the C-27J Spartan aircraft, and we're in the process of acquiring that fleet. Now, what is it, Joe? Is it 14 we're getting, or how many? Yeah, 14 C-27s, which was a pretty good deal. We got those from really the Air Force, right? And the Air Force decided not to use those aircraft. They weren't used. They were, you know, brand new aircraft for the most part. And we got those aircraft, I don't want to say for free, but pretty close. And you know, we've got to missionize them. We have obviously the operational tail of the cost that goes with them. But we got those aircraft, and so far so good. They're looking really good. So we've got a mixed medium range fleet now of HC-144s and C-27Js. And by the way, the C-27 has enough capability that it actually, in some areas, some geographic areas, it can encroach a little bit on our HC-130 mission. In other words, so we can use those aircraft in some places to push into the legs we need we use for our HC-130s for. So it's become a pretty good flexible aircraft for us. It looks like it's going to be better. And what was the second question?
Yes, sir. How severe of weather can you go out for helicopter operations?
Well, the answer is very severe, but it's a misnomer, actually. There are times where we don't fly because of the severity of the weather. When you see Coast Guard, but there are ways that we find our way around it. And what you saw during Katrina and some of those, and you've seen over many, by the way, Katrina is not the only example of Coast Guard aircraft flying into ridiculously nasty storms and things. You just go up to Alaska and the guys from Kodiak fly into what's equivalent of a hurricane very frequently. But we find ways to work our way around the very severe parts of it. As you know, hurricanes come in bands, and we navigate through the bands and around the bands. So we usually, if we're going to fly and there's enough distress, we will find a way to get around it or through it. But there are times in my career, there have been times where we just flat out could not go. We had to wait until the storm or some of the storm passed, or find a window to get airborne. Part of the problem is, at least my experience in flying in hurricanes, is not necessarily flying once you're airborne and flying to the scene out there, because you've got generally a fairly steady wind to deal with. It's getting off the ground and landing is the problem, and because you've got the gusts and other things. So, different shapes, sizes, and flavors, and I don't rule anything out when it comes to Coast Guard folks operating in bad weather. I've learned that over my career.
I'll ask you one last question I don't think anybody else has asked. How close is the Kevin Costner movie, The Guardian, to the training that you guys go through?
Well, so, yeah, there were some scenes in that movie that were designed to sell popcorn, you know. There really were, in my opinion. Yeah, you know, and I don't want to badmouth the movie, because I think there were some scenes in the movie that I thought were pretty darn realistic. Some of the depictions of the Alaska weather, that looked pretty similar to what some of us have seen, you know. The training, the rescue swimmer training, is absolutely a difficult training program. And some of the things you saw in the movie were. And we got any rescue swimmers in the room? I'm sure we do. No, they're all over watching The Guardian right now, aren't they?
Yeah.
So no, but you know, some of those scenes were definitely to sell some popcorn. But the difficulty of the program, that rescue swimmer training program, they got that part right. It's tough, and the attrition rate is very high, and those guys are probably the best open ocean swimmers you'll run across in the world. They are amazingly trained, high-end rescue technicians, really, is what they are. I couldn't go scene by scene with you on the movie. There were some things in there that, you know, let's just take the Navy bar scene, okay? I don't think we would get in a fight with the Navy, okay?
No,
I'm sorry.
No. No,
just kidding. No. But when from a standpoint of the training, well, maybe these guys would.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But from the standpoint of the training piece and the difficulty of the training, they got that right, I think. I don't think they put people in an ice cube tub. They don't do that. You know, that's something they added in there. But I thought there were parts of the movie that were good, and then other parts that were not not there except to sell popcorn. Can I make a pitch for a movie I think is probably one of the best movies about the Coast Guard, and it's not an aviation movie, but The Finest Hours was a movie that was just released by Disney, and it was out a few months ago. And I would encourage any of you to see that movie. That is a true story, a historically correct story about the greatest rescue in the Coast Guard history, a rescue by a small boat out of Station Chatham in Massachusetts when a tanker sank. It's a really good movie to watch, and it's very true to and accurate about the kinds of things Coast Guardsmen, whether they're aviators or boat guys, or whether they're cuttermen or whatever they do. It's a real good story about the challenges we face in our service.
Good. Steve, can we recognize the group
yes,
here?
Yes, I wanted
Please
to recognize
stand.
All the Coast Guard members who are here with us tonight.
Let's hear
Please
it.
Stand up. We appreciate you being here and for your service. Of course, when civilians like us do something dumb, it's really nice to know that the Coast Guard is out there to hopefully come save our bacon. And we do appreciate you being here at Oshkosh. Coast Guard may be the smallest branch of the armed forces, but you're always looking for more recruits.
Yeah, absolutely.
If someone's interested, then what's the best way to join the Coast Guard?
Thank you for that. It's always helping me with the recruiting. Every Coast Guardsman's a recruiter, by the way. And these guys who are sitting here in the flight suits, they're the ones you really want to talk to. We are structured in recruiting just like all the other services. We have recruiting offices across the United States. Not as many, but we have them. So if you're interested, if any of you young folks out there are interested in a Coast Guard career, that's the first place to start. Go online, check out the website, gocoastguard.com. That's our website, gocoastguard.com. That's our recruiting website. But the better thing to do right now, if you're thinking about it, if you just want to know what this Coast Guard thing is, and maybe what Coast Guard Aviation is, these guys right here in the room. And tomorrow, if you're lucky enough to be here tomorrow on the flight line, go stop by. Those guys are standing out by the aircraft. They want to show you what we do, and they want to tell you how they got to where they were at. So there are so many opportunities in the Coast Guard for folks who are looking to serve their country, not only from a standpoint of defense of our nation, but standpoint of serving humanity and saving lives. So I would encourage any of you to stop and talk to us tomorrow. I see a lot of young folks out in the crowd, so that's great.
Thank you for being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Admiral Callahan, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk about the Coast Guard, and congratulations on the 100th anniversary of Coast Guard Aviation. Let's hear it for them, all of them.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And you too.
Thanks. All right.